because the banks don't want people to have good credit. The
Wow.
wealthy don't want you to have good credit. The politicians don't want you to have good credit because when you have good credit, you get out of debt. And when you
That's
get out of
right.
debt, you quit your dead-end job and you do what you want to do. And you now have options. They don't want you to have options.
I've never
And
looked at it that way.
so Barack Obama signed the deal with the devil to make it so credit repair companies did not have access to bank accounts. And fortunately, I'm still here, and we do it now under education, so we're exempt of credit repair laws. And we give away, our credit repair process is free. Anybody who hires us for our coaching product, they get the credit repair for free. Whether they need it or not, they get it.
I searched all over the world, struggling to find it. Then I met my boy, David E. Simons. Yeah, I searched all over the world, struggling to find it. Then I met my boy, David E. Simons. Yeah, discover my gift. Yeah, yeah, discover my gift. Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to another episode of How I Discovered My Gift with yours truly, David D. Simons. I'm excited, and my excited is excited to have today's guest on to the show today. Tens of thousands of people, including celebrities who have worked with Rondi Lambert, known that he is the trusted authority for credit-related education and credit hacks that can significantly improve and change their lives. Rondi has spoken to large audiences on stages all across the world, including the prestigious Harvard. While serving in the military, he was also called to serve his local community. He spent 15 years as a firefighter and was named Firefighter of the Year in 1998 in Littleton. I didn't know that. That's really cool. In 1999, he was one of the first responders to the Columbine High School shooting. I'm sure we all remember that. Crazy, crazy. Oh, we're going to talk about that. In 1999, he was, like I mentioned, he was one of the first responders. In 2006, his younger brother, who was also a firefighter, took his own life over a few thousand dollars in medical bills and other debt. At the time, he vowed to help other people fix their financial situation so no other families had to deal with that type of loss. In 2007, he founded Fortress Credit Pro, a reputable credit repair company that has removed millions of late pays, collections, charge-offs, repossessions, short sales, foreclosures, tax liens, judgments, and bankruptcies from credit reports. Rondi and his team have helped non-qualifying applicants become mortgage ready in as little as 90 days, eliminating over $50 million of consumer and tax debt. Welcome to the show, Rondi. Thank you so much for being on, brother.
Thank you so much. Sorry that was so long.
It's needed.
I've lived a very full life. So.
Yes. Yes, you have, man. Let's start, man. I want to go to childhood, right? Because you've got a remarkable past and a remarkable journey. And I know you grew up from humble means, if I remember correctly, right? So take us through that.
Yeah, I grew up about an hour outside of Boise, Idaho, in a shack that had no running water, no electricity. In fact, the shack is smaller than the studio I'm sitting in right now. Wow. No running water, no electricity. We burnt tires in the winter for fuel, and we got our food out of a dumpster. So, my parents were mentally ill, and it was my stepdad that we lived with at that time, and he would beat us and torture us, and it was just a miserable life that I think back about it, and there were things that I really enjoyed because I got to live a life that most people never could live, in the mountains and survival, and I'm good at pretty much everything now that I try to do. Because you had to be resourceful to live. But I got tired of the abuse. So I left home when I was 15. I figured I could live on the streets at 15. And what's the worst thing could happen? I eat out of a dumpster, which I ate out of a dumpster at home. So I left home at 15, ended up getting a job for a guy washing his Cadillac and washing his sports cars and delivering cash to his wife his petty cash, $2,000 a week. And this was 1986. So $2,000 was quite a bit of money in cash.
Absolutely.
And one day I went to work and he's like, hey, you know, because I'm in high school working part time. And he's like, I have an opportunity for a job if you're up for it. I'm like, absolutely. I'll do anything. And he's like, it requires secrecy and it requires that you never talk about it. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay. You know, I'm 15 years old. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, I'm serious. Like, you can't talk about this to anyone. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm in. So we walk down this hall. We get to the door at the end of the hall. And he's like, are you sure? You can't talk about this. I'm like, I'm sure. Let's do it. Because he was going to pay me $1,000 a month salary. Mm-hmm. And for a sophomore in high school, that was a lot of money.
It is.
And I'm like, absolutely, I'm in. Opens the door. We walk into this room and there's a dead guy laying on a table with a bullet wound in his face, completely wow. naked, dead.
Wow.
That was the day that I became a licensed funeral director and started working at a funeral home as a director and embalmer.
Wow.
So I, throughout high school, was an embalmer and a funeral director. And it was one of the funnest jobs I've ever had in my life. I got to drive a brand new truck. I had a place to live. I had money. I got to wear, you know, a fancy polyester suit because it was fancy as in probably $70 at the thrift store. Wow. So that was my my first experience with money. And Wally taught me from a young age that it's not important how much money you make a year. It's how much money you keep. Mm. And he started teaching me about taxes and about credit and using other people's money. And I eventually left. Once I graduated high school, I really wanted to be a fireman. My grandfather was a firefighter. My dad was a firefighter. My biological father was a firefighter. Mm-hmm. And so I got accepted to Fire Academy in Colorado. So I up and moved to Denver, Colorado, become a fireman for Littleton, Colorado. And then they went on a hiring freeze. So for 5 years, I was a volunteer firefighter for Sheridan at night and a garbage man during the day. Wow. So I was the guy that would drive the truck, pick up the trash, get off work, take a shower, go to the fire station.
What?
And so one of my signature speeches that I did at Harvard that you referenced was becoming Batman. And why I call it that is Batman, the superhero, had no special talents. Mm. He was just a regular guy that had money and applied what he could do. And everyone can be a hero. And so for that 5 years, I was garbage man by day, fireman by night. And eventually, I got hired with Littleton Fire. And I spent the rest of my career at Littleton Fire Department. And like you said, I was one of the first responders at Columbine High School. I'm actually the one that found the 13 kids that were shot.
Oh my God.
And then, you know, I did lots of other stuff. I was on the busiest rescue in Denver. So I saw pretty much anything you could see.
Wow.
What you said there in 2006, my little brother who followed my footsteps to become a firefighter, unfortunately, had some medical bills and some other stuff and just overwhelmed him. And he ended up shooting himself over a couple $1,000s of debt. So I decided to start a nonprofit helping people. And that was Fortress. And now 16 years later, because I started in 2007, 16 years later, we've helped over 500,000 people increase their credit, reduce their tax, eliminate their debt, become homeowners, start businesses, start investing in real estate. And it's something I'm passionate about. And it's the longest, other than breathing, it's the longest thing I've ever done in my life.
Wow. That's amazing, man. It's truly remarkable. I mean, your journey. I mean, I'm hearing the weave throughout your whole story, it sounds like you've always been service oriented. Like to be a volunteer for 5 years, you didn't get paid anything for that.
No, like, we didn't get paid anything.
How many hours are you putting it in?
I would put in about 48 to 50 hours a week.
A week?
Yeah.
How many people
after working 60 hours as a garbage man? I mean, I didn't sleep a lot. Fortunately, Sheridan Fire was not like Denver Fire or Littleton Fire. So I did get to sleep, you know, at night, you know, unless we got a call. Of course, if we got a call, we'd have to wake up. So it wasn't like I was working 48 hours straight and 60 hours. Part of that 48 hours that I was at the fire station was sleeping. But it was also time away from my wife and kids. You know, I had three kids by the time I turned 21.
Wow.
Because gosh. I followed my dad's footsteps and I have super sperm. That if I look at a woman, when I was younger, if I looked at someone, they'd get pregnant kind of thing. In fact, I got a vasectomy at 21 years old. I didn't even tell the kids' mom. I know I should have done it, but I didn't want any more kids. And she wanted like 15 kids. And I'm like, no. So.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That's hilarious. 22 years old and had three kids. And
wow. So. Amazing, man. So tell me, Rodney, when you look at your journey, you look at your past, what's your most dominant gift?
I think my most dominant gift is the ability to stay calm in emergency situations. I think that's it.
Wow.
That's my superpower, is staying calm. And then outside of that, I don't think it's a gift. I think it's a calling that I'm here to help people. And, you know, the Bible says that Jesus was here to spread the good news. And I feel a requirement or a calling that I have to spread the good news of living a debt-free life. And that's really my focus at Fortress, is helping people become financially free. And we do that a couple ways. First, we help them become financially free by fixing their credit, getting them up into the 800s. And then we show them how to legally not pay income taxes. In America, if you make $100,000 or less, which is the majority of Americans, you're not legally required to pay income taxes. And yet, the majority of Americans pay 20 to 30% of their income, sometimes more, in income taxes. And if they would simply do one thing, they don't have to pay for the taxes. And I'm not talking about the sovereign citizenship stuff that'll end up you in jail. I'm talking about using our current tax code, applying it. So we fix their credit. We show them how to eliminate their income tax. And then we take 50% of the income tax savings, pay off their debt. And the other 50%, we put it in an investment vehicle that earns them 20% interest a year. And now, 5 years into our program, they're completely debt-free. They're financially free. They're living a life that they've always dreamed of. And they get to spend more time with their family and friends.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So I think that's really my superpower, is staying calm. And that might be why I love public speaking, because I don't get nervous on stage. I could be in front of, you know, 50,000 people at a stadium. I don't get nervous. Wow. I get on TV. I've done hundreds of TV interviews, thousands of radio show interviews. I don't get nervous at all. And I get excited. I get a little bit of butterflies in my belly, because that's excitement, though. I'm not nervous. And the reason I'm not nervous is I know my industry inside and out. And I know that if I'm on stage in front of 20,000 people, I'm going to help at least one. I'm most likely going to help more than one. Absolutely. But I know God put me there for just one person, because my good friend Ed Milet says this in his book, Power of One More. It's just one more. It's one person that will completely change the world.
That's good.
And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be Elon Musk to change the world. That's good. You can just be you and make a difference in one person's life, who makes a difference, and on it goes. So that's why I'm here.
I love it. I love it, Rodney. So when did you first notice this ability to stay calm when things aren't so great? Or like, did you notice, like, do you remember that first instance as a child? Or like, I know you said you were very resourceful, So where did that, where did you find this? Where did you, where did that start?
I don't remember when it started, but I can tell you my first childhood trauma was I was 13 months old. My mom at the time had me and my little brother, because she got pregnant 9 months and 3 weeks after she had me, she was pregnant again. And as a teenage mom, she needed a break and she left me at home. And I woke up when she was gone. I crawled out of the crib, crawled up to the sink, turned on the hot water. And my dad, in his infinite wisdom as a plumber, overrode the water heater regulator so he didn't have to wait for the water to get hot. And again, remember, I grew up in Idaho and we're known for potatoes, and that was our favorite meal.
Right.
And so he wanted the water to come out of the sink boiling. And so I crawled up in the sink to get some water because I was thirsty, and I boiled the flesh off my left leg. Mm. So that's when the trauma started. But the first time I remember being calm was I was probably, it was either second or third grade. It was in Caldwell, Idaho. We're living in some Section 8 housing. And my brother and I were in the front yard playing. The guy gets out of a car, walks into our yard, pulls out a gun, shoots my neighbor in the face, and shoots her boyfriend in the face.
What?
Yeah. And then calmly walks back to his car and drives off. So that's probably the first like serious thing that I just was very calm, went inside, told my mom. And then it just goes on from there, you know, with different situations, the fire department, the military. I've been in 4 different shootings in the military. I've been in 2 helicopter crashes because I was on a crew chief on a medevac helicopter. So we had auto rotations in the 90s during Desert Storm. So it's all my whole life I've been calm. And even 2 years ago, I had a skydiving accident. I fell 300 feet and I ripped my right foot off my leg.
What?
And if you want to see that video, it's on my Instagram page. The whole thing start to finish. And, you know, I land, my foot literally, I landed, my foot stopped and my leg kept going and it just ripped it off, shattered my right leg. And the instructor was with me. He gets on the radio. He's like, "You okay?" And I won't repeat what I said. but yeah, you can watch the whole thing. And I stayed calm the entire, you would have no idea that I was falling out of the sky from 300 feet watching this video on Instagram.
You weren't crying. You weren't like screaming in pain. You weren't like, what?
Nope. I said blank, that hurt. And then I tried to stand up and obviously I didn't stand up because my foot wasn't attached anymore. And then I passed out and they hauled me off to the hospital to put my foot back on. So
this is, you are superhuman. like that's beyond calm. Like that's crazy. Yeah. Whoa.
It's just, you know, I think I'm here for a reason. And I think God is, puts me in really unique situations. And granted, look, I do it to myself. You know, I'm in the helicopters. I'm a pilot. I've jumped out of helicopters snowboarding. I was in a Warren Miller film when I was in my 20s. I do the extreme stuff. I'm the one putting myself in those situations. A lot less now that I'm 52 years old. But, you know, on January 1st this year, I went and rode my motorcycle. It's 30 degrees out because I didn't ride very long. Because it's 30 degrees, but I put myself in these situations and God always protects me and saves me. Sometimes I got to pay for it though. You know, I'm still paying for the skydiving thing.
Oh man. Jeez.
It still hurts. Jeez. But
I can imagine.
I'm here though.
Yeah. What a blessing, man. Like you literally, when you said before we started, you said I have 14 lives. Now I get it. I get it. For sure. Yeah. So now tell me this transition, right? You worked as this, helping with the embodiment embalmer. Yep. And then like, how do you get in? You, unfortunately, your brother passes, but how do you get into credit repair. What was the lead in, and what? How did that start?
Yeah, so I, you know, as a fireman, and my little brother kills himself. I find out that he had some debt, and I get a Robert Kiyosaki book, Rich Dad Poor Dad. I start learning more about money and credit. I want to do something to help my community struggling with debt. I end up filing bankruptcy. And because I had a construction company, you know, all firefighters have other businesses or other jobs because, you work 8 days a month and they're all go-getters and you can't sit around and watch TV for the other 22 days a month. Right. So I had a construction company, had some fraud going on. And then it's 2006. You know what's going on in 2008. I also owned a real estate company.
Oh, man.
And ended up filing bankruptcy. So that's when I really started digging into, like, what could I do to clean up my credit? Mm-hmm. And the nonprofit thing was helping people with money and knowing that it's not the end of the world. But right. then it just started evolving and adding more and more to it. So I started offering the service for free. I saw how it changed people's lives. So I really started pushing my efforts into helping people with credit. And I met this guy named Joel Bauer in April 2008 in Las Vegas at a credit repair seminar.
Wow.
And he was a speaker there. And that's how you and I met, right?
That's right. Joel. That's right.
And I didn't like the guy. I really didn't. I thought he was a jerk. I thought he was arrogant. Mm-hmm. And next thing I know, I'm writing him a check for $2,500. Because I knew I didn't like his persona, but there was something about him that I liked. And as a kid, when you're abused and you go through stuff as a young child, you're really in tune with what's really going on. And I can meet someone and know something's completely wrong with them. Mm-hmm. And I meet a lot of influencers because I speak all over the world. Mm-hmm. And I'll meet someone, I'm like, there's something, that's a bad dude. Mm-hmm. And then you meet someone else and they're amazing. And so I didn't really like Joel, but there was something I needed to be, and I knew he had what I needed. Mm-hmm. And so I went to his event in November 2008. Got home, did what he told me to do. Within 2 days, I'm booked on a national radio show, and the whole thing just exploded from there. Wow. Fast forward a couple months, I had my own radio show. Fast forward 2 years later, I was syndicated on over 400 radio stations nationwide. And that's when I become America's credit expert, is I had my own show called Your Credit Matters. I bring in experts from all over America, whether it's law, legal, attorneys, CPAs, authors, and I would interview them. And I just started learning from them. Then I got linked up with the largest bankruptcy firm in America, Doan Law, and started working on their credit and just started adding to it and adding to it and adding to it. Started with our credit repair. People would literally hire us, not pay us anything at all. We would dispute the items on their credit. 30 days later, send them a bill for what they owed us. And then I started noticing that people would come back to us. We'd fix their bankruptcy, delete the charge off, delete the judgment, delete the collection. Mm. A year later, they're right back in the same boat. So I then started our education division, which is called Fortress University. And now we don't get a lot of repeat customers. We really don't. It's about 1 out of every 1,000. Mm. And it's because we're now teaching them how to manage their money, how to manage their credit, how to reduce their taxes so they can get out of debt. And we're teaching them what the government doesn't want us to do. The government does not want you to know how to live a debt-free life. They want you to go to school, get in debt up to your eyeballs, be a slave to the system until the day you die. Wow. Because if you're in debt and you have a good job, in quotes, you'll never leave. And now you're paying into the matrix. You're paying into the big machine with taxes so they can pay off their cronies over in Ukraine, get in private jets and fly down to Epstein's Island and do all the stuff that the politicians love to do with little girls down there. And they want you to be in this, the matrix. And so I kind of look at it as I'm giving you the red pill to get you out of the matrix so you can unplug from the system.
That's so deep. Wow, man. Wow. When you put it like that, like, this literally, you literally are a superhero, man. Like that, like you're saving people from the evil villains that are trying to kill them. Wow.
You know, we get almost every single week, no exaggeration, almost every week I get a message on social media that I saved their life.
Wow.
And I think God does this on purpose. I know he does, because there are days that we all have self-doubt. Mm-hmm. We all have imposter syndrome. Absolutely. I mean, look, I grew up poor. I don't have any proper education. Yeah, I have a education in emergency medicine and firefighting, but I don't have like a degree. Mm-hmm. And so you get imposter syndrome. And especially like I spoke at Harvard 3 times and I don't have a college degree. And I think God does it on purpose. Because I sure appreciate there's some days that I'm feeling pretty bad about everything. Mm-hmm. And I'll get a message from someone like, hey, I was suicidal 3 months ago. You fixed my credit. I just bought a house. Thank you so much. Changed my life. You know?
Wow.
So we are helping people and I love what I do.
That's amazing, man. It definitely shows, man, that you put in the work. So I'd love to ask you about, you know, everybody sees the stuff in the front of the scenes, right? Like now, you know, you got this amazing show, these shows, this amazing company, you're doing all this great stuff, but a lot of people don't see the hard work that you had to put in behind the scenes. Could you tell me about the development that took you to get here? I mean, the books, the coaching, the mentoring, the stuff that nobody talks about that builds you up and all that. If you could talk to me about the behind the scenes.
Yeah, I've invested over $1 million in coaching and mentorship. Mm. The best mentor and coach I've ever hired is Joel Bauer, by far. Mm. The reason I'm sitting here talking to you is because of Joel Bauer. If I wouldn't have,
right.
And it's not just Joel Bauer. If I had to do what he told me to do, You know, they say knowledge is power. That's not true. Knowledge is not power. Otherwise, your professors would be the most powerful people in the world, and they're not. Ooh. They're not the richest people in the world. Knowledge applied and leveraged is power. So yeah, Joel got me on this path, but it was me that actually did it. And so I've spent over $1 million in invested over $1 million in coaching, mentorship, masterminds, etc. Worked, I don't know, 80, 90 hours, 100 hours a week for years, if not over a decade with Fortress.
Wow.
And it's different when you're passionate about something, because there is no off switch. You know, that's there right. is no life work balance. That's for W-2 employees.
Right.
For entrepreneurs and people that have a passion to help people.
That's right.
There is no balance. I mean, look at Elon Musk.
That's right.
He sleeps on the floor. There's no balance in his life.
None.
He is trying to accomplish something.
There you go.
Look at Steve Jobs. Even though he wasn't the greatest person, he changed 5 different industries. No one ever has ever done that before.
That's right.
I'm sitting here. My whole life is completely different. Billions of people, literally billions of people on the planet, their life is better because of Steve Jobs, Elon Musk. Not going to say Microsoft, because I don't know if their life's better because of that guy, but I'm just joking. So the sacrifice, people don't see the sacrifice. They just see it. And I always say it's like I'm an overnight success. It only took me 30 years to get here. My good friend Andy Frisella has a podcast called The Real AF and MFCEO Project. He's got over $50 million in cars, Lamborghinis, Porsches. He loves cars. And they're all an investment for him. He absolutely loves them. And he says, people often come up to him when he's getting gas for one of his exotic cars, and they'll say, man, how much that car cost you? He's like, everything. Cost me everything. Cost me 30 years of my life. Wow. And I copied that from him. I have a really nice, very, very unique Ferrari. And now when people ask me that, man, what does that car cost? I'm like, everything.
Wow.
Wow. 40 years of working my ass off and helping people in sleepless nights. That's what it cost me.
Wow.
People don't realize how much entrepreneurs work. And it's, but I wouldn't change it. You know, I wouldn't change it for the world. I actually, when I retired from the fire department, my daughter got diagnosed with diabetes and, you know, it was several thousand dollars a month in healthcare and stuff. So I'm like, I'm going to go get a job. It's the last W-2 job I've had. And it was at Starbucks. I made it 4 hours. 4 hours. I'm like, this is not worth it for me. Wow. And it's because I went to Starbucks because I like coffee. And then also you only had to work 12 hours a week to get full benefits. And I'm like, I'll go work for, you know, their mom had some health issues, so she couldn't work. So I'm like, hey, look, I'll give up 12 hours of sleep, make sure my kids are taken care of. But yeah, I made it 4 hours.
Wow. So, and you've been an entrepreneur ever since. That's
Wow. And it's not for everybody. It is not. It is not for everybody. It's not for most people.
That's so true. You do have to live a certain lifestyle to like, and I think that, you know, your gift of one of your gifts of being calm, even in the midst of an applied, I was going to ask you about that. Like, you know, it's applied to nature, right? Helicopters and other situations. How has that served you in the world of entrepreneurship, right? Like being able to handle some of the worst and most stressful things that can happen, I think are also in entrepreneurship.
Yeah. I think the last real stressful time, and when I really noticed this, was May 2017. Our business had just skyrocketed. We were doing millions of dollars a year in sales, and it went so fast that my merchant credit processor shut us off.
Dang.
And it was millions of dollars lost instantly. And it took us 6 months to get a merchant account again.
Oh man.
And that was due to Barack Obama. Barack Obama, he made a deal with the devil, the AKA the banks, that he was going to shut down child pornography. That wasn't the bad part of it. But he created this thing called Operation Choke Point. It was a choke out the traffickers by shutting down their merchant accounts, their ability to have bank accounts. Well, the deal with the devil was throw in credit repair companies with child trafficking.
Are you serious? Literally.
Yes. And so one day I have a merchant account, next day I don't, because the banks don't want people to have good credit. Wow. The wealthy don't want you to have good credit. The politicians don't want you to have good credit, because when you have good credit, you get out of debt. And when you get out of debt, you quit your dead-end job and you do what you want to do. And you now have options. They don't want you to have options.
I've never looked at it that way.
So Barack Obama signed the deal with the devil to make it so credit repair companies did not have access to bank accounts. And fortunately, I'm still here, and we do it now under education. So we're exempt of credit repair laws. And we give away, you know, our credit repair process is free. Anybody who hires us for our coaching product, they get the credit repair for free.
Wow.
Whether they need it or not, they get it.
That's amazing. So tell me, take me into the insides of building fortress, right? Literally the word, it's deep. I can now hearing everything you're talking about, I see what you've done, right? Like, but take me into like developing fortress and, you know, some of the misconceptions. Somebody listening here might think, Rondi, you can't help me. You know, like I have torn up all my credit. I got bankruptcies. I got repossessions. I got all this. There's no hope for me. Like, take me through fortress and how you could help somebody that just feels hopeless.
Yeah, the reason I came up with the word fortress was, if you think back in the medieval times, you have this big castle and then you have the moat around it. Or even the biblical times, what did they have? They had a wall around the city. So your fortress is building that wall around your finances, whether it's your debt, your investments, but you're building a fortress around your finances. And that's how I came up with the name fortress. And then credit, as in that's what I focused on at the time. And then professional, because there was lots of people who did credit repair that because they fixed their credit and they fixed their mother-in-law's credit, they're now an expert. It's just how our industry works. So I created it to help people build a fortress around their finances, because if you manage your money right, you can do anything you want. Now, as far as people saying, you know, I've gone too far, there's nothing you can do, it's not true. There is absolutely nothing you could tell me I have not heard. I mean, we've helped over 542,000 people as of this morning. 542,000.
Wow.
There's absolutely nothing that you could tell me that I probably have not heard. And when I say nothing, obviously there's probably something out there that I haven't heard. But for the most part, it doesn't matter if you have a bankruptcy, a late payment, a judgment, a collection, a repo, a foreclosure, a short sale. Does not matter. Everything can be removed from your credit report because it was put on your credit report. So just like this shirt I have on, I chose to wear it today. I could wear this shirt until it falls off my back, or I will take it off tonight and put it in the laundry. So your credit report, if they put it on, you can take it off.
That's right.
And the way that we get it taken off is we understand federal and state law, and we know how to incentivize the bank, the credit bureau, the collection company, to follow the law. I am not an attorney, but I have dozens of attorneys who work for me. So I'll give you an example. If you have a late payment, and let's say that you owed Bank of America $3,000. And right now, defaults are up almost 400%. I think in this year, 2024, you're going to see bankruptcies go through the roof. You're going to see repossessions, charge-offs, short sales, bankruptcies. People are going to lose their jobs. Things are going to get really bad this year. The good news with that is if you stay on top of it, it's going to be really good for you. Because if you get your money right now and your credit right now, there's going to be lots of opportunity.
Wow.
And, but let's say you have a $3,000 credit card. You couldn't pay it for whatever reason, whether you just got lazy, whether you just got irresponsible because life just got in the way. Maybe you got divorced. Maybe got sick. Maybe you lost your job. Regardless of why you didn't pay your bills, I don't care. I don't care. My job is to get it removed from your credit report and get the debt dismissed. So what I will do is I'll look at your credit report. And when I look at it, under the Fair Credit Report Act of 1970, it says it has to be accurate. It has to be timely, so the dates have to match, and it has to be verifiable. If one of those three things is not there, by law, they have to remove it from the credit report. And if they don't, you can sue them.
That's right.
So what most credit guys will do is they'll say, I was never late. It's not my fault. It's my ex-wife's fault. It's my boyfriend's fault. It's the divorce decree's fault. It's blah, blah, all these, they're pushing the blame. That doesn't matter. What matters is law. So we'll look at it and we'll find a mistake. Every single credit report has a mistake on it. I've said this thousands of times. Remember, I've done over 2,000 radio shows and episodes.
That's right.
Podcast episodes. I will give you, David, $100,000, and anyone listening to this or watching this right now, I will give you $100,000 in cash if you can show me a credit report with no mistakes on it. Let's make it $1 million. Wow. I'll give you $1 million in cash if you can give me a credit report with no mistakes, no errors, no misinformation on the credit report. $1 million in cash. The law says since 1970, it has to be accurate.
Right.
You would think I'm gambling with my money. I'll never pay that out because they're all wrong. They all have inaccuracies. They all have errors, mistakes. Wow. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
If you have that Bank of America credit card, it's going to show up on all three credit bureaus. One of the dates on the bureau is going to be different. By law, it has to match.
Wow.
But it won't match. They never match. So what I do is I find that mistake, and there's dozens of mistakes per account. We send a letter to Bank of America that says, Bank of America, I was reviewing my credit report. The losses has to be accurate. Here's a screenshot or a copy of my credit report with it highlighted and circled of the inaccuracies. Please remove this from my credit report. If you don't remove it, please send me $7,500 in the next 7 days.
Mm.
Now, they'll send back some letter. We verify to be accurate, blah, blah, blah. The next letter they get from our law firm that then sues them for $7,500.
Mm.
So what do? They instantly send a check. They'll reach out to the attorney. They negotiate a price. They send our law firm a check, usually for about $5,000. They delete the collection, the $3,000 collection from the credit report, and you don't have to pay it.
Wow. And you made
so that's
money.
How our process works on everything on a credit report.
Amazing. Amazing. Jeez, man, that's you've explained it so well, right? Like I hear a lot of I work with a lot of credit repair people, but like you just made it simple and plain to where I think anybody could just clearly understand that why a dispute can be disputed, right? And through the FCRA, but you just broke that down, man. Thank you for that. So tell me more about, you know, how someone can get involved with Fortress and learn about, hey, Rondi, I want to work with you. I want to utilize your services. I want to get plugged in.
Yeah, it's real simple. The easiest thing is fortresscreditpro.com. That's fortresscreditpro.com. Or if you got social media, really easy to find. Just everything at Rondi Lambeth. So RondiLambeth. So Rondi Lambeth. If you go to Google and type in Rondi Lambeth credit, you're going to find me. You'll find lots of me on there. But the easiest thing is just go to the website or social media. You know, I manage my social media myself. So if you send me a DM, I'm there to help you. You can schedule a call with me, free consultation. And we even have a free product, and it's our new product. It's creditmojo.ai. I'm not trying to confuse people. But there's some people that just, they're financially broke. They can't afford to pay us. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, we charge for our service.
Yeah.
And so for the people that are just financially restricted, creditmojo.ai is a free credit repair program. You pay for the credit monitoring, the credit report, and we give you access to all of our proprietary software and letters. We use AI. You put in your username, password, hit submit. It creates the letters for you. You simply mail them out. We do all of it. And then if there is litigation, things like that, the charge-offs and collections, our system's going to notify us. And then we'll reach out to you and explain to them how it works. Because most people that are struggling financially, they say they're broke, but this doesn't cost them anything. And what I mean by that is, if I get $3,000 collection removed, and yeah, you had to pay me $100 to do that, you saved $2,900. It didn't really cost you $100 because you saved $3,000.
That's right.
But some people are just in that mindset. They're just like, I don't have any money. Well, and so we offer the free program at creditmojo.ai just so they can see what we can actually do for them.
Wow. Man, it just everybody's covered. You got everybody covered, man.
I was talking to Joel last night, and he's like, "You got services for people that have one quarter, two nickels they can rub together, and then you got services for someone who's got $1 million." And he was coaching me. He's like, "You just got to come up with one price." And I said, "Joel, if I come up with the one price and it's only for the wealthy, because he wants me just to focus on wealthy people." Mm-hmm. And I want to do that. I want to help the middle class. I want to help the working poor because the wealthy, they don't need my help. They could use me, but they have enough money that they can go hire an attorney. They can hire a financial planner. They can hire a CPA or a lawyer, a tax attorney.
Right.
I want to help the middle class and the working poor that can't afford to pay someone. My taxes alone, my tax attorney is $50,000 a year.
Jeez.
That's most people in America make $56,000 a year. They can't afford to pay my attorney $50,000. Mm. So what I do is I take my information he shares with me and I give it away for free.
Wow. Wow.
So I have programs for if you only got two nickels to rub together, mm-hmm. or my latest client made $27 million last year.
Jeez.
He hired me in December. We saved him $300,000 on his income taxes in December that his CPA never told him about. Jeez. So we have a program that'll fit any budget.
Wow. That's remarkable. Yeah. Rundy, is there something I didn't ask you that you feel people need to know?
Bad credit's a choice. Bad credit is a choice because you're choosing not to hold the banks, collection companies, and credit bureaus accountable. The law says it has to be accurate. 100% of every single account on your credit report right now is inaccurate. 100% of them.
Wow.
I had a congressman. I did a radio show and he heard me when I was living in California. He called me in and he's like, I heard you say that. I have a 750 credit score. There's nothing wrong with my credit. I said, let's pull it up. Pulled it up. I won't repeat what he said, but there was a lot of curse words involved on stuff that was supposed to be fixed. And, you know, of course he didn't do anything about it. He said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then as soon as he talks to his donors, the banks and credit bureaus, you know, he changes his tune because he's not really there to help people. So the thing I'd tell you is bad credit's a choice. You have a choice of whether or not you're going to leave it the way it is, or you're going to force them to correct it.
Beautiful.
And the law says they have to correct it. And if we don't enforce the law, then you might as well be a slave.
That's deep. Man, that's fire. And the last question we always ask on the show, Ronnie, is what's the difference between one's gift and one's purpose? One's gift and one's purpose.
I don't know. I will say this. A lot of people are gifted. Unfortunately, very few people actually enact on their gift and do their purpose. I think God gives us talents and gives us gifts. And most people don't actually do anything with it. Why? Maybe they're lazy. Maybe they're scared. And I don't think you have to be gifted or talented to make a difference in the world. I think the difference is you're actually trying to do something.
That's deep, man. I love that.
Mother Teresa, I don't think she was gifted. Gandhi, I don't think Gandhi was gifted. Jesus Christ, obviously, he was gifted. I mean, he's the Son of God. But if you go through the Bible and you look at all of the our heroes, they weren't gifted. You know, George Washington, the founder of the United States, our father, right, of the United States, I don't know that he was gifted. Maybe he was. But even if he had a gift and didn't do anything about it, why have the gift? Look at Matthew 25:21. My real estate investing company is called M25 LLC. And it's the parable of the talents.
Yes.
God gives us talents, gives us gifts. And if you're like the lazy servant that buried his talents in the ground, God will spit you out. He will curse you. Get away from me, lazy and wicked servant. At least you could have put it in the bank and got me interest. And he said, I'm going to take it from you and I'm going to give it to the wealthy one, the one that actually invested the money. So I'm going to take from you because you did nothing with your gift. And I'm going to give it to someone who's less gifted and give him your gift because you were too lazy to do anything with it. So I don't know the difference between gift and purpose. I think everybody's gifted and I think everyone has a purpose. And it's up to you to figure out what you're going to do with it.
Beautifully said. Wow, Rondi, thank you so much for blessing the people on the show today. Just so much fire, so many gems. Thank you so much, sir. Truly appreciate
glad to be here.
I searched all over the world, struggling to find it.
Dear listener, I would like to thank you so much for listening to How I Discovered My Gift with yours truly, David D. Simons.
as a token of my appreciation, I would love to give to you my most important piece of work to date, and it's called the Purpose Gift Tape. It's a motivational mixtape geared towards helping you to identify your gifts, which ultimately lead to you discovering your purpose. This is a 6-track album I poured my heart and soul into. It includes beautiful beats and amazing spoken word over it, and I'd love to give that to you as a free gift, as a token of my appreciation for being a part of the community. So to get your copy, all you need to do is go to podcast.daviddsimons.com. That's podcast.davidsimons.com and get yours today. Thank you for being a listener. I'll catch you on the next episode.
How I Discovered My Gift with David D. Simons is proud to be of the amazing and illustrious Alive Podcast Network.